All right, church, I want to talk a little bit more in Mark chapter 16 in just verse 8, which I said in the last video, I believe is the last verse of the Gospel of Mark, according to Mark. The rest of the verses in the book of Mark were added later. We'll hit on them later. But for now, I just want to hit on this last verse, verse 8. They went out, this is the women who went to the tomb. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And I said in the last video that I believe that's how Mark intended to end the Gospel of Mark. That's the ending point. They're astonished, they're amazed, they're fearful, they're trembling. They don't have any words. They can't even talk. And that's the end of the way Mark ended his Gospel. And then other people added the remainder paragraph later, which we'll hit on a different video. But that's a really fascinating way to end your book, if that's how it ended. And whether it's how Mark intended to or not, which I believe it is, either way, it's worth examining because this is a major theme in the book of Mark. We've hit on it a few times in Mark, but it's fitting to look back over at this point. Mark is a gospel that's always in a hurry and is always full of amazement, astonishment, astoundedness, fear, and all this other stuff. And I think he's going for that. I think he wants you to rush through it. It's the shortest gospel. It skips the birth of Jesus. It pretty much skips the resurrection of Jesus. It's just there's this angel sitting at the tomb saying, hey, he's alive, he's risen, he's back in Galilee, go back, you'll find him, like he told you you would. And it just kind of ends there on a cliffhanger, and you're supposed to be a witness. You're supposed to spread the gospel of Jesus. Tell the story of Mark, get everybody's hopes up, get everybody's amazement, everybody's astonishment, and fear. There's fear in Mark, often. And it ends in verse 8 here with fear. They fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The end. It's supposed to be. You're in the presence of God. The God who died and resurrected and blew your mind. The whole way through Mark, there's mind-boggling stuff happening. And you're supposed to be mind-boggled. And you're supposed to want more and say, tell me the rest of the story. Tell me the rest of the story. And then you, if you're the witness, if you're the gospel messenger, you know the rest of the story. The rest of the story is alive in you, and you tell it to that person. But look at this. I'm going to breeze through just an overview of the book of Mark. Chapter 1. Verse 22, they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one with authority and not as the scribes. Verse 27, chapter 1, they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits and they obey him. Chapter 2, verse 12, he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. He healed a paralyzed man. Okay, Mark chapter 5, he's cast out a demon. It says this, chapter 5, verse 15, they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion of demons, sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they tell him what happened and stuff, and they beg him to leave and everything else. Verse 20, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Verse 33, Mark 5, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told the whole truth. This is the woman who was bleeding that had sneaked up on Jesus just to touch him. Later in chapter 5, he raises a little girl from the dead. And immediately the girl got up, verse 42, and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. Okay, a couple verses later, chapter 6, verse 2, on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? Don't we know his parents and his mother and his brothers? That's Mark 6. Okay, chapter 6, later in chapter 6, verse 50 or 49. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, as I do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. All right. Chapter 7. Next chapter, verses, let's start in verse 35. His ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. I'm probably missing some. I tried to just read over Mark and just circled all the astonished, amazed, fearful, trembling, all that kind of stuff, astounded words. And they're just all through it. And I easily could have missed some. But or missing them now as I'm reading them to you. But over in chapter 10, it is easy, verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished, said to them, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Verse 32, chapter 10. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. They're just following around, they're afraid. There's no miracle directly attached to that one. Just amazed at just being with him, and the stuff he's saying is mind-boggling. All right? Just incredible stuff, and that's how they take it. chapter 11. After he's cleansed the temple, the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. All right. Chapter 12, verse 17, Jesus said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Chapter 12, verse 34, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, Jesus talking to a scribe, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. Afraid to even ask him questions after this. Because remember, all through Mark, they're asking him punk questions. They don't dare. They're astonished. They're amazed. All right. Chapter 15, in front of Pilate. Pilate, the guy who doesn't, he's Pilate. He's a Roman governor. He's going to kill Jesus soon. He's killed other people before. But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. It's verse 5, chapter 15. All right, on the cross as he's dying, verse 39, chapter 15. When the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly this was the Son of God. This man was the Son of God. And now in the resurrection, the end of the book of Mark, verse 6, he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Meaning, look, see, he's not here. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb with trembling and astonishment. For trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The end. The right response to the story of Jesus, to the episodes of Jesus' life, the things he taught, the things he did. Everybody who encounters him is amazed, astounded, astonished beyond measure, alarmed. There's fear involved in it. There's incredulousness. Everywhere he goes, just walking down the road, they're amazed and alarmed and astonished by him. And that's how it ends. And don't you want more? Don't you want that awe of Jesus in your life? Don't you want the power of God reminding you? Be reminded of the incredible, astonishing power of God in Jesus. That's how, remember Peter, I don't think that's even in Mark. The other Gospels include this theme because he's it's not like some literary device that Mark is using. It's the actual real response when people encounter Jesus. But just at the beginning, when Peter is encountering him, and he throw your net on the other side, and Peter says, "Get away from me! I'm a sinful man." And these women at the tomb, they run away in fear because they're, even though this angel has told them don't be alarmed, they can't help it. They recognize that something way beyond And it's not like a terror, like an evil kind of terror. It's a fear and trembling of just being awestruck. It says they were seized by it. They're in the presence of somebody, something bigger than they can fathom, than they can imagine. You're not going to get that. This isn't just, hey, cool story, man. That was neat. This isn't just a neat thing that happened, an amazing thing that happened. You've been involved in your life. You've seen things that were interesting, that were noteworthy, that were remarkable, that were beautiful, that were scary. You've been in the presence of powerful things before, right? This is way bigger than that. This is that they're seized up. They're overcome with amazement. They're marveling. They're astonished and astounded. Let's get that back. Let's not just have Bible story time. Oh, Jesus walked on water. Isn't that neat? No, that's terrifying in its own way. Not in a run and hide kind of way, but in a mind-boggling, breaks all your categories, makes you fall to your knees kind of way. Even the wind and the waves obey him. What manner of man is this? What, he's on the boat with us? What? Came back from the dead. What? We saw him die. And when he died, the sky went black and the rocks split open and the earth split and the temple curtain ripped open too. And even the centurion who butchers people on crosses every day of his career, he's this was a different one here. Surely this was the Son of God. Pilate at the trial is amazed by him. Be amazed by him. And if you're amazed by him, tell other people and tell them in an incredible kind of way. You're talking about God himself. I think we lose this. I think the Gospel of Mark is meant to point us that way. And it's easy to lose it. It's easy to just talk about Bible stories and forget their incredible nature of what is involved in a Bible story. God himself, creator of heaven and earth, he speaks and the universe blinks into existence. Boom, let it be, and it is, and it's done, and it's good, and it's right. It's meant to floor you. It's meant to knock you down, all right? I love how Mark ends it that way. So go and be the conclusion of the Gospel of Mark. Be astonished, be amazed, be overcome with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you. And go tell the rest of the story, and go apply it, all right? God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow more about this second ending of the book of Mark that I believe is tacked on later, why you should and can still trust the Bible and why that little note telling you this isn't part of the Mark, why that's important and everything else. We'll look at that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.